Immerse yourself in Herbal Essence's new Moroccan Argan Oil Elixir, infused with pure argan oil. Just one drop delivers up to 100 hours of hair nourishment with the indulgent scent of a Moroccan garden. Herbal Essence's new Moroccan Argan Oil Elixir, spa quality hair repair without the price tag. Try it now. Herbal Essences. Surface repair to smoothness, nourishment with regimen use versus non-conditioning shampoo.
Let me bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus! No for gay Jesus, people!
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am here with my man, Bill Dawes, who's in Europe, right?
No, I'm on the way to Toronto with Mario Adrian.
Hello.
Oh, nice. This kid is a superstar. I used to see him doing comedy shows for like, I don't know, 5 people, 10 people along with me, and now he's doing arenas. He's blowing up. We're also here with Gita Maria Figuera. Gita the Man Eater, who is fighting for the first transgender MMA title in history. She's fighting another transgender, and it's going to be, that's exciting. It's a trilogy fight. So they each won one time. Am I right, Gita? I can't hear you for some reason. Let me see. I'll ask to unmute you. There we go. And when we're waiting for Mayhem and we're waiting for Don Fry, who probably doesn't know Don Fry texted me yesterday. So are we on? And I have to let him know that it's the wrong day. But Gita, right? So this is a trilogy fight.
Yes.
So, and the first time she got you good. I mean, she got you in like 1 minute. Second time you kicked her ass. So
no, I'm not gonna say that she won that fight because she was better. We were in the middle of clinching. I was holding out my arm to block, and in that instance, like it went numb, and so the referee had stopped it for an 8 count, and I was like, I don't understand what's going on. I was blocking her hits; she wasn't even near me. So he brought me to the side of the corner, and he started counting. He said, "You're good." I was like, "I can't feel my arm," and so he called it off. So for me, I don't feel like she won because she whooped my ass or she won on points or whatever. I literally just said, "I can't feel my arm, so I'm not going to continue to fight."
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's a mistake. That's not even. They should have told. I mean, they should explain to you like, "Hey, I'm going to stop the fight if you can't feel your arm," and you would have said, "No, don't stop the fight."
Yeah, he just stopped it. And when it comes to amateurs, there's like an unspoken rule that the referee's job is there to protect us as amateurs. So they don't do what they do with professionals where they let them go and basically to the point of death. Like for us, it's like one little mistake. If you cry out in pain, they'll stop the fight. So they're really strict when it comes to that stuff. So for me, that's why I asked for the rematch, just to prove that she wasn't.
Got it.
Better.
Got it. Don, did you ever have a fight where you couldn't feel your arm?
Yeah, a couple of them. Yeah.
And what happened?
I was stoned.
I walked in there.
I couldn't feel anything.
Oh, I meant like, okay, so you could, that's.
He went into the fight not feeling his arm.
That's hilarious. That is hysterical. But by the way, it says never quit. Get a prenup. That's good, Don. That's actually good advice. Gita, we've been friends forever. I'm a big fan of yours. I always follow your life, always support you, always root for you. I'm always in your corner. And I think it's interesting. Now, is it a trans league where everyone's trans, or is it you guys just fighting on a card where, you know?
I think it was awkward to me because Summer Brady, she has her own following and she's been doing her thing in Muay Thai and celebrity boxing for a while. And so she has a lot of like followings. And so with everything that's going on in sports these days, how there's like a back and forth between trans people and just regular heterosexual people. Her and I, we've been the only ones in the country competing the right way. We've been c competing with other males or other trans people. And so there's thousands of organizations in the country, and there's a small percent that looks out for people like us. And so Critical Combat is up in New York and New Jersey area. And so she was connected through them. And with the amount of times that I've competed MMA and she's competed in Muay Thai, people started to take a little bit more notice to it. Like, we were serious. We're not just a gimmick. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not for the clout. And we actually love combat sports and we want our own lane. So she spoke to people through the course of like the last couple of years. And finally, someone said, "Hey, I'm going to go to the commission and I'm going to offer it and see what they say." And so I think it's a little bit of kind of proving that people like us exist, that we want to do everything the right way and to steer away from the bad that's all over news and social media. Because it's like, for me, my first MMA fight, I fought and won against a man in 2022. And not that I want to be famous, but that shit should have been all over the news, and it hasn't been. It's the news and media. They like to take the bad and exploit it. And so I think finally, first time ever, an actual MMA fight, two trans people for a belt that they created for us adds to the hype. And then it also to the storyline that, like I said, people like us exist and we want to show that we have our own lane and that we're doing everything the right way.
Is this the first like trans versus trans event in all of professional sports?
In
And is this
MMA, yes.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Like, now I always thought, Don, that like trans people should just have their own league. It just makes it more, it makes more sense.
Yeah, they
And then
should.
I did a whole joke about it, how they should make it fun, have like a you know, they should have a trans, like the California cutoffs versus the Alabama Adam's apples, and you know, just kind of have just make it fun, you know, and they have like trans ring people where you don't know who's what's going on. Just make the whole thing an event. But Gina, now do you get mad when you see activists that are saying no, trans people should be able to compete against like you know, women? Like, does that piss you off?
It does. I think for me, I think it's stupid. Personally, like, no offense, in the state that I am now, I can rag on all three guys in a row if I wanted to. So for me to touch a female, it doesn't make sense to me. It bothers me. For me, I'd rather look like this and talk like this and act like this and walk like this and beat men and feel more empowered than to do it against females. And my entire family is like 80% female. I was raised by beautiful, powerful women. So for me, my morals, my values, my ethics, it all falls in line with protecting women and children. Sometimes men, because there are some pussy ass bitches out there that need the backing of someone like me. But yeah, when people are going out of their way to compete against females, it's obviously unfair. I think it's stupid. Like, I watch combat sports on a daily basis, right? Listen to this. I'm 5'6". A lot of my favorite female fighters are 5'6", and they weigh 125, 135 pounds. I weigh 165 pounds. That's muscle and bone density. And
Yeah.
we're the same height. So I think about that. Like people like Clarissa Shields and Amanda Nunes and Cyborg, they're freaking amazing. But I still would not want to go toe-to-toe with them because I know that I'm just built different. I can feel it. Like, as soon as I hit the scale, I'm like, how the fuck am I 165? And these chicks are just like, they're a lot more brittle, I guess. They're not as dense as we are. So
Yeah.
yeah, it bothers me because then it makes people like me look like shit.
Yeah, of course. No, I commend you. You know, I mean, just like, well, you're number one, like what you've been through, but also that you're also like, yeah, I don't want to. Now, have you trained against women and male and see such a big difference?
Of course. So obviously, a lot of people don't talk about it when we're in class, and that's like every single day, boxing, Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu. You'll come across strong people of all ages, all sizes, all colors. It doesn't matter. And I've had those one or two women that are like, damn, she's strong. Even like my mom. My mom is a perfect example. She was a fighter all of her life, but she wasn't like my kind of fighter. She was like in the street fight. I couldn't take her until I was like 20 years old, like in wrestling. And she taught us how to do judo and wrestling and all kinds of striking in the house, like growing up, so that we could defend ourselves in the streets. And even then, for me, it just doesn't make sense. It's not logical. And I mean, if it was like with headgear and protective shin guards and stuff like that for fun, like for sparring, cool. But once you take all that off, like you're gonna hurt each other. And like I said, there's some right now can probably take out half the male population if you wanted to. But it goes down to like the principles, the morals, the ethics, the values, and having respect that we're both on different lanes.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Who is giving you the most pushback? Do you think it's women or men? And from the fighting side, do you feel like you're more supported by male fighters or by female fighters? Do you feel there's a difference?
So honestly, I'm gonna be straight up. Like I think I'm getting more pushback from, like, I guess, I don't know, people that are still in their mom's basement, not doing shit with their lives.
Of course. Someone,
like, and here's another thing. Like, I'll be at a bar, right? And in my head, if I start talking to someone about MMA that's on top on the screen, if you've never taken a class, if you've never taken a punch, you've never been in a fight, I don't want to talk about combat sports at all with you. Like, you have no say in anything. Like, even for people like you that, or you guys, that you guys encounter it all the time, if you can't take a 1 hour class and not see what it really takes to fucking be an honestly, shut the fuck up. You have nothing to say. So when it comes to the backlash, like my third MMA fight, I got TKO'd by a guy. And that went viral. It went all over the place. Everyone talked about it. They made tabloids about it and everything. And honestly, I couldn't say whether it was male or female, but honestly, because the sport is more male driven.
Sure.
Just like, I don't know, insecure people, but that stuff doesn't bother me. Like, I my both sides of my family adore me. I have no enemies. I live a good life, have a great career, I take care of everyone and everything around me. So like, I have, even if it comes, and it's gonna come with this, like, for example, the flyer just got put out. And yeah. There's like news outlets taking the story and they're starting to talk about it. And I came across one yesterday and I was like, ooh, let me see what's on. And so there was like a lot of love and then some of the hate. And it's kind of equal at this point, because I think you kind of have to have the it factor, like how Dana has said it before, like that star quality, like how he grabbed Ronda. Ronda had the look, she had the attitude, she had the skill, and I feel like I have that for the trans community. I have the look, I have the style, I have the experience, and I have the no gives a fuck. Like, honestly, I've told Critical Combat, if Summer Brady doesn't make it to the fight, at least have someone, anyone, a man, anyone in any division that's willing to step up and fight with me. So,
well, here you are. It says for Yahoo Sports. First transgender MMA world title set as Brady and Figueroa complete trilogy. And then I see you. That's the picture from the MMA Awards, which that was the night before you got drunk, or the night I was drunk, but that was hilarious. Much respect to that. And this was the first year. This is the year that my daughter met you, and then my dad. And it says, MMA will reach a historic milestone on June 20th. Summer Brady and Jeetah Figueroa headline a groundbreaking title fight in New Jersey. It's called the Femme World Championship. marking the first MMA world title between two transgender competitors. And it says, yeah, so everyone's Yahoo Sports. It's big. Now, her nickname is the non-binary ninja. So it's Ida, the man Ida, versus the non-binary ninja. What does that mean if you're a non-binary ninja? What does that mean?
Speak for summer, but I know non-binaries when they don't represent man or woman. They're kind of just like in limbo, like they're like an it, I guess.
Okay, so you're
speak for them.
Is it a non-binary versus the trans? Is it like, are we now going into other divisions? Because like, do you get the non-binary title too if you win, or just like
be a double title holder? Amazing.
I can't speak for her, honestly. I don't get that side of the spectrum. I honestly, when it comes to the acronym, the T should not ever be in there. Everything else has to do with like what you choose to put up your ass or in your mouth in the bedroom. The T is based on identity and how we perceive ourselves in life as either male or female. Like the T should have never been there.
Well, it's just be LGBTQ. Like the T should leave.
Exactly. I'm okay with it.
Don, have you ever dealt with a non-binary ninja before?
No, but I'll be looking over my shoulder from now on. I'll be turning on the light in the closet first, you know.
Adam.
Yes.
I want to tell something to Don real quick.
Sure.
Don, so way before I knew that you were good friends with Adam, my boyfriend and I have been humongous of you for such a long time. And the one clip that will never, ever come out of my mind, and I've even used a phrase, I'm going to do the Don Fry, where as soon as the bell rings, I'm blitzing. I'm going across that octagon, and I'm fucking this bitch up in the same way that you fought that one guy from, I think it was Japan or China.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah, thank you. That was tough. That was a tough fight, I'll tell you.
Don, did you ever think that you'd be inspiring Gita the Man-Eater, the first trans world champion?
No. Obviously, she hasn't seen me naked.
No, you are a true G of the sport, and it's an honor to kind of sort of meet you and have this meeting
with you.
So now other stuff that's going on in the MMA world we got to talk about, by the way. Because I know you mentioned in the text Sean Strickland, right? So I was looking at like, what did Sean Strickland say about the trans community, right? So I was looking at like, okay, things that Sean, so if you just Google like, because Sean Strickland says so many things that you almost like don't even know what he says. So I look at it.
I love
Sean's thoughts on trans. So he said he refers to it as a mental illness. He describes them as an infection and a definition of weakness. He voiced an opposition to transgender women competing in women's sports. Okay, that, I think we're all on the same page there. And then he says there's only two genders. I would agree with that. What are your thoughts about this?
For me?
Yes.
Okay, so first and foremost, I believe in free speech. He has the right to say what he wants to say. I absolutely adore the man because he has no filter. I've watched his career prior to the UFC, and I wish he would fight the way he used to fight, because then he probably would be a champion and stay a champion. I think he gets fed stupid questions, and then he's just like, I'm just going to answer kind of like I'm answering now. Like it just comes off the dome. So you can't fault him for that. At the end of the day, everyone has the right to say what they want. All three of you could look at me, see me, and see how I live my life. And if you still think and feel that I'm a man, I love you and respect you because that's your right. In order for me to get respect from people like you, I have to give you the same respect. So when it comes to Sean Strickland, let him say what the hell he wants to say. It's his right. Now, I feel like if I was to take a class at his gym, I could probably change his mind where he'd be like, actually, you're kind of cool. Like, take the Nina Drama girl, for example. So many people talk crap about her. Now she's like one of the famous faces in the organization behind the scenes. And it was kind of like he would talk crap about women like that, and now they're cool. So it just takes people getting to know each other and seeing that we're not bad people or I'm not a bad person for someone like Sean to be like, you know what? Not all of them are stupid. Not all of them are crazy. Because there is a percent of people in my community that are perverts that deserve to be in prison, that do not deserve to be around children and other human beings. But that's in every group. White
Yeah.
people, black people, Asian. There's minorities that go through it. It happens to all groups of people. So to answer your question, he has the right to say whatever the hell he wants. But just like I prior to you asking that question, I have a story. The last time you when I was in that red jacket in
Yeah.
the black shorts, the night before, an article came out where Israel Adesanya saw my second fight where I got TKO'd, and someone made an article about him. I think it was Yahoo Sports soon, where he said, "Ooh, that's kind of weird." And they interviewed him about it, and he said it was weird. And then Jake Shields had a lot to say about it. So next
Course.
to you, I was in the same room with both of them. And when we were at the after party, I went up to Jake Shields and I was like, "Hey, you, come over here." And his response was like, "Oh shit, what did I do now?" And in the middle of me, I asked him, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that as a trans person, I only compete against other males or other trans people, and I'd like you to to know that, like from face to face, and I'm here for a reason because that's what I'm doing." And in that same moment, Israel Adesanya came up from the side and pulled him away from me, and I looked at him like, I want to talk to you too, motherfucker. But not in a mean way.
Yeah.
But we were in the after party. We were drinking. I didn't want to like cause a scene. And plus, I saw Valentina from my left, and I was like, actually, screw these assholes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go meet Valentina. But yeah, I had that chance to make an impact in like people that have a really big platform and voice. Thanks to you.
No, that's not.
So,
Thanks to you.
that's what you're
I had nothing to do with it. But
You
I
can
mean,
have say whatever you want, just like you guys do on Gut Feel.
yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, look, I don't know anyone that has personally don't know anyone, maybe some people I'm sure I don't, but I don't give a shit what you say you are. And I don't care what you want me to call you. Like I coached a kid and he was and the girl was like, hey, and she was said that she was trans. I'm like, what do you want me to what name you want me to call you? I'll call you that. I have too many problems to worry about what name you want to be called, right? There is a problem when you have children competing in the raw, boys against girls, trans people against girls. That's when there's an issue. And I'm pretty sure most people feel the same way. Like, I don't think most of the people that I associate with would not give a shit if a person's trans, or be whatever you want. It's just when you, it's just when you have a daughter or when you coach a kid and then she gets fucking steamrolled by a boy who says he's a girl last week and made that decision, and then you're like have to explain, oh well, this is now fair. I think that's what I think people have an issue with. And which I want to ask you, at what age do you think it's appropriate for kids to start the transition? Because I've coached kids that were like 11 and 12. They're like, I'm a boy, I'm a girl, and then a month later they change their mind.
I don't know if you noticed, but just recently, last month, I got hired and I became a kids coach where I'm teaching kids at a Kids Strong. It's going to be pretty countrywide right now. If you guys look it up, it's based off of like fitness, child development, where we're doing puzzles and games and activities while also working on their form when they're doing flips and lifting weights and all kinds of stuff. We're building high character kids. And I'm around kids all the time. I don't have my own, but I'm also like the favorite auntie in the family. And I have 13 nieces and nephews. And I think about that stuff all the time. So when it comes to that, this is my rule, even though I don't have kids. If you don't have a diploma on my table and money to fucking pay your own rent and take care of yourself in this world. Don't ask me nothing about transitioning. It should be like 18 plus, 21 plus. If you're not an adult, don't ask me nothing, because there's like a certain like age gap that you're still under your parents' like control and care. And I feel like they brought you into this world. They're raising you. They're feeding you. They're giving you shelter. The least you can do is wait till you're an adult where you can make your own decisions and do it somewhere else, because you still have to give your parents that chance to even like accept it. Like, if my parents had a choice right now, they would probably reverse everything just because that's what they wanted and expected from me. But they still love me and respect me for who I am, because since day one, I've always been a great person. I've never done anything wrong or bad, like given the family a bad name. I'm an angel, honestly, to my family, my friends. So, yeah, if you can't fucking wipe your ass and take care of yourself, you should not be transitioning anything.
I think Don's frozen. Don, what are your thoughts?
I think she's right, man. You can't take care of yourself. You know, why are you gonna make a move like that? You know, she's absolutely right.
No,
I want to know how. I mean, I completely agree with all that. I'm really curious about how this promotion got started. Like, were you the one starting it, or did someone come to you and approach you for it? How did this come about? Because it is a really seminal event in sports history. I mean, maybe not now people are realizing it, but I think this is going to go in the history book. So I'm just wondering, like, how this came about.
So what it is Critical Combat is its own organization for martial arts in the New England area. And they're already really known. If you were to follow the flyer that's connected to my profile and their profile, you will see that they have thousands of followers. Like, as soon as they posted it, there was already like 3,000 likes and shares on it. So they're already established. It was just them seeing what me and Summer had been doing. And they were like in their heads, in the brainstorming table, like, hey, does this sound like something you guys want to like take on? And so that's what happened. And they actually had the meeting last week and they created the flyer immediately. Like, what I find crazy is that the full card hasn't even been established. Like, it's all, we're the co-main event, but like they're using our story to hype up the event, and nothing else has been announced, just ours.
I think it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm excited to see it. I'm obviously rooting for you. I'm on Team Gita all the way. Now, personally,
is there bad blood between you and Summer, or is it like fun?
That what?
Is there bad blood between you and Summer, or is it like you guys friends?
Started with bad blood because, like I said, I don't know if we covered this, but in the country, I remember there was a fight with a trans girl and a man in like Brazil or somewhere that like really inspired me. I was like, I can fucking do that and I can beat her ass. So I was the first to do it in our country in 2022. And so when I got TKO'd and that went viral is when we got connected. And she was kind of like a friend foe where like she gave me credit, but then she would discredit me. Because like she was doing like celebrity boxing, and I was like, that's not fucking fighting. That's just like for fun. Like, you're not sanctioned. Like, you're not getting a record. You're not. There's nothing special to it. You're just. They're just putting it's like celebrity deathmatch from like the early 1990s or the 2000s where they put celebrities to fight each other. We're friends now. This last fight, I proved to her that I am not like what she was. There was like back and forth between her and I, where she was like discrediting me for like my fighting because of my losses. But I'm like, my losses don't define me in any way, shape, or form. Like, that's, it just makes me better. Like, I was fighting men that wanted to lose to me. I was fighting men that wanted to fuck my ass up. I was fighting men that didn't want to be in there with me and like have more chances of losing to me. So I stepped into the ring with like really, really great men who gave me their all and proved it in those TKOs that I received. So we're cool now. But one thing I will say is this fight that we just had, the Muay Thai fight, all she wanted to do was hold on to me. That's Muay Thai is striking, is punching and kicking. She was using her strength and her body weight to hold me down. And the entire time I'm trying to push away from her. MMA is not the same. My foundation is wrestling and jiu-jitsu. The ref is not going to be able to do an eight count on her. Like, if like she needs to train really, really hard these next 3 months, because wrestling and grappling against me is not going to be a fun time for her. And especially with my experiences in judo and tossing people and lifting people and throwing people and choking people out. And, like, there's a lot that you don't see behind the scenes. Like, there's been times where in a jiu-jitsu class, you'll train the first 45 minutes, and then the last 15, coach is like, all right, we're running drills against each other, try to tap each other out. And I'll tap out, like, five guys in a row easily. So I'm just saying, like, if she thought that the Muay Thai fight was anything, the MMA one plus, this is for a belt. This is for notoriety. This is for me to, like, claim stake in the game with my name and prove a fucking point. As soon as that bell rings, I'm coming for her.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know if you know, Don, Gita's also a chef. She's a kept woman. Okay, she's in a relationship with a very nice man. She's got brothers and sisters. She learned how to fight by her just by wrestling, whatever. She's a complete badass. Now, do you have a team this time? Because I know last time you were kind of training in your backyard and like with like Rocky style and like chopping wood. Do you have an actual team this time?
So I train out of a strike studio here in Virginia. Amazing team. They have Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, and Muay Thai.
Nice.
So cool. I have one.
Good. And where can people follow you?
All right. So my Instagram handle. Sorry.
Yeah. Your Instagram is.
My Instagram handle is GITAFIG719. And that's on Instagram. That's really it. I'm very active on Instagram. I really don't use my MMA stuff on anything else.
Well, listen, we are all rooting for you. We're going to have you on, obviously, before the fight, hopefully again, whenever you want. Thank you, Gita. Don, Bill, you want to say anything?
I just think that you're awesome, and I follow you on Instagram. And if I wasn't so insecure, I'd have a crush on you.
Yeah, your pants are kind of tight. I was going to masturbate to you, but I see your dick is bigger than mine. So you kind of killed my heart on.
It made mine bigger.
Oh, well, thank you. That's all that matters is that you killed Don's heart on. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you so much, guys. Take care.
Bye. Great. Kill it.
Game time. NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game, okay? You get to go with other fans. You have fun. You take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game, you browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on with Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events. All right, they have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price to get great seats. They have the super deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you don't like stuck behind a goalpost or you're sitting in the parking lot. Whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. All right, go to Game Time Picks. All right, they make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now.
Good luck.
All right, that was Gita the Manita. What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Okay.
That was that. You know, she came
that,
on.
That was that is the seminal moment. The most manly man in the history of the world. Actually, particularly now that Chuck Norris is dead.
Yeah.
Talking to a trans fighter is like that should go down in history.
And saying he was going to masturbate to her.
No, that is no. Yeah. And then I saw the size of that fucking dick. I'm like, no way. No way.
Oh, fuck.
That's, you know what? We were supposed to have her on at 12:30, but she came on earlier. So, like, the whole show was like, I had a whole show planned out, but I didn't want to, I was scared to have her wait and tell her to wait for 30 minutes. Because I don't know. So I was just like, So I guess we'll start the show now, kind of.
You can tell she's not a real woman because she's fucking half hour early.
Well, I also felt stupid because I was like, I agree with there's two genders with Sean, and I'm talking to a transgender, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess there'd be three genders, right? Now I'm just confused with my own self, because like I always thought it was male and female.
Trans and bi people, binary people, they don't like each other.
Is that like a thing?
Yeah, there's a whole thing between non-binary people and trans people, because trans people are like, make up your fucking mind.
Wow.
And non-binary like, but I'm both, and you're like, shut up.
So I guess there would be three genders, right? You have male, female, and trans. But what's everyone arguing about? Because then all of a sudden there's like 10 genders and there's 17 genders and two. Is that the slippery slope that you don't want to say there's three?
Yeah, then absolutely.
Becomes three becomes 130. Is that what it is? Because I mean, I want to say, okay, there's two genders, male and female. But then you're like, then trans people are female or they're male. Well, no, because they have the word trans in front of them. So I guess it would be, what do you, so Bill, are there three or two? Or how many genders? What's going on?
No, well, look, here's the deal. There's either two or there's infinite.
Is that what it is? There's either two or
two or there's a million. That's the way I look at it. So the way I look at it is, honestly, I just like to say, even trans people say they're two genders, because even if you're trans, you're either male or female. A lot of them believe that.
Got it. So there you go. All right. So there are two.
That's why the non-binary thing pisses them off.
Ah, dude, I get confused with this shit, man. Like, I honestly, just when you think you got your finger on the pulse, it's the non-binary. Is Mario still with you?
Yeah, he's doing a video about Tim Hortons.
Oh, because I feel like Mario would be a good guy, because I don't know what gender that guy is. All right, so listen. So I was in Sarasota, by the way. So Don, my when I started doing comedy, I had like, I don't know, I had a I was like the dirty comic, right? I was the dirty. Then I became the UFC comic, and now ever since being on Fox News, my crowd is like 60 to 80 conservatives. Like, I have a lot of grandmas now show up, or people are like, oh, you're my grandma's favorite comic, you know, that like that kind of thing. So sometimes people stare at me during my shows, and I'm like, they're like, this is not the guy from Fox News. So I try to throw in, you know, some dad jokes that I wrote in between, right? So I'm on stage and I'm doing like the dirtiest joke. Then I go, you know, Vanna White got married last week. It was, they exchanged wedding vowels, right? So then I hear from the crowd, the lady's like, an old lady goes, keep it dirty. Like, now the dirty people are mad. So yeah, I guess that's hilarious. Then I'm like stuck in Idaho. Where was I? Last week I was in Des Moines, Iowa. And I just happened to be in the same hotel. I was with the Funny Bone. It's like the national high school wrestling. So there's wrestlers everywhere, like all over. You could tell they're cutting weight. They're wearing this. So I'm in the elevator and I'm like, oh, I look at
the gay man's dream, huh?
Yeah. Gay man's dream. So I see cauliflower ears and I'm like, oh, you know, I used to wrestle. I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, yeah, I was 4-time state champ. They're like, what state? I'm like, well, it was a New England prep school. And so now I'm like
is it transgender in New England?
Dude, I felt like of trying to prove myself to a bunch of high school kids in the elevator that wanted nothing to do with me, that basically called me, that I have to explain. Just like, so that was kind of annoying, right? Then I'm checking out of the hotel and this girl has a tattoo. This like girl has a tattoo of like a machine gun on her. So I'm like, oh, do you shoot guns, right? The lady's like, no, actually, I got it as a memorial for my friend who died. And I was like, oh, she goes, oh, no, for someone who died. I'm like, oh, did they die by machine gun? And then she was like, no, it was my brother. I'm like, oh, he was in the military. So I was like, I didn't know what to say. So I was like, well, thank him for his service. But the guy's already dead. Like, I don't know why. Yeah. I said, thank you for, like, how.
Don't do his grave. Say thanks.
So then she goes, I only met him twice. But he was the first guy to hold me as a baby. I'm like, dude, it just kept getting fucking worse. And I'm like, dude, I was like, I gotta dig myself out of this ditch. Then I just left. I'm like, that went fucking awful. Yeah. So then I went to go see my daughter's play. She was in like this recital for her Christian school. And the last time at the recital was the Christmas recital. And it was like all these girls lined up, these boys lined up. And the one girl got real nervous and started throwing up so while she's throwing up on other kids, right? So now, now everyone has to clean up the puke, but they didn't want to stop the recital. So the teachers were singing Feliz Navidad while the girl is hurling in the corner. But they kept singing it on loop. So that was at the recital. So yeah, that was then my daughter. Bill, it's always good when I'm doing a podcast to Don while Bill is on mute having a separate conversation reacting to other people. So not only do I have to see his fucking face not listening to me, I have to see him making reactions.
I'm listening.
To other fucking people. And Mayhem, who we scheduled this thing three different times this week because of Mayhem.
Did not show
up to the fucking thing. It was supposed to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, all because of Mayhem. And then he doesn't show up. And then fucking, what's his name? Sean's goes, please. He kept removing himself from our group chat. So I kept putting him back just to be a dick. You know, like, hey, man, you're not getting out of this group chat. And then he's like, dude, I'm fucking stressed. I got 97 Mexicans. Fucking, I owe this guy $85,000. I'm in an accident. So then I left him out of the fucking group chat, right? Then he's like, he texts me, can you please bring me back to the group chat, right? So I'm like, okay. So I add him again. His first thing is about Bruce Buffer being gay. Like, he only came back to tell us that.
Hey, he's on brand. Come on, he's on brand.
So then he says he's going to come. He doesn't fucking show up. This is the most unorganized fucking thing. To people that stop listening, I'm with you, okay? Fucking, I'm totally, I understand. I fucking get it. But it's me and Don Fry and Bill Dawes. And it's nice to be able to talk on my podcast with Mayhem Gone. All right, now, also, you know, we have this dog, right? we have a great Pyrenees. Is always wants to, you know, is teething, biting people. So my friend said, what you want to do is put hot sauce on people's arms. That way.
What?
Yeah, they said it was.
What if it's a Mexican dog? What if it's a Chihuahua?
Well, this is where we're going to, right? So, all right. So my hot sauce, because then the dog will eat the hot sauce and it'll never bite you again. So my daughter has this little friend. She happens to be black. So I thought they meant barbecue sauce. So I started putting barbecue sauce all over this little girl because I thought. So then her fucking mom came home and she's like, She's like, what are you doing putting barbecue sauce on my kid? And I was like, oh, no, it's so the dog won't eat her. The fucking dog runs right to her. I had to separate. No one got hurt, thank God. But I thought you guys would laugh at that story. But it's always good when someone's laughing when they're listening. But instead, the guy's making a fucking video at Tim Hortons in Canada during our fucking podcast. Oh, and then my daughter's friend had a cat that died, right? This is why, like, parenting, sometimes you have to think as a parent. So my Violet's crying. Oh my, you know, my friend's cat is dying. She's gonna pass away. So I didn't want to make. I had to make her feel better. But I'm like, Violet, all our pets are gonna die, which is not.
Yeah, that'll make her feel better. Way to go. Yeah, yeah. So
not the right thing to say. But I just meant like everyone died. It's part of life.
I know you can't. You can't say that to them though. I try with my daughter. No, it's the worst.
What did you do?
No, one time I told him, it's like, I said, hey, one time you're going to have your own family and me and mom won't be around anymore. And maybe you'll have kids. She was like, what do you mean you and mom won't be around anymore? And she broke into tears. And I was like, oh, fuck. I can't do the circle of life with my daughter when she's 4 and a half.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do it all.
Wait till they're 14. Wait till they're 14 and they'll enjoy it. They'll fucking, yeah. You're gonna die, you fucking bastard. Can you go now? Because I got shit to do on Friday night.
So this week, the NCAA wrestling tournament starting, which is always the best time. Honestly, college sports, that's my favorite, NCAA wrestling. I do miss coaching. I was telling my friend, the hard part was when, you know, I would coach middle school, so little girls, little boys, and I would never demonstrate the move on a girl just because, like, you know, sometimes you're showing an inside single or like you get pretty close to certain body parts and it just did never. I don't want kids walking by and looking in the room and all of a sudden, why is this grown man's head in fucking the crotch area of a boy or a girl, right? So I would always tell other
kids. You're doing a fireman's carry. You're doing a fireman's carry and your back gives out.
I'm going to have to call him.
I'm sure other coaches are going to be like, no, this is how you do it. And, you know, I mean, there were times if it was an ankle pick, I would show an ankle pick, you know, or something where it's like, but I would sometimes direct the boys or girls. I'm like, okay, so take your hand, put it around her wrist. All right. Then take your other hand, you know, put it underneath the high cross. And then I feel like I was directing a fucking porno. Like it just sounded fucking weird. Like when you're like, take your, that was kind of interesting. Did you watch the documentary, Bill?
Yeah, put it as deep as you can. Put it all the way up to your elbow. And then put your head in tight. Put your ear right there in the knot.
Toronto.
Thank you.
Toronto. Let's go.
Oh, good. Of course, I'm talking to fucking Mario's GPS.
Okay, I'm going to have to.
No, you're not going anywhere. Have you watched the Manosphere doc?
Oh my God, I haven't finished it, but I watched most of it. Yeah.
What are your
You're
thoughts?
On the fastest road. You should reach your destination in 17 minutes.
God fucking damn it. Well,
I thought it was interesting as hell, man. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not part of the manosphere, obviously. I'm part of the cuckosphere, but
So this guy, Don,
I appreciate a lot what they say. I mean, I get why they say what they say.
So, Don, there's a documentary now. This guy, Louis Theroux, who's like this brilliant documentarian. He makes these documentaries. And he's very, like, he's very non-aggressive. And he basically interviewed the Andrew Tates of the world. Like, these guys are making a fortune, you know. And these guys are pushing, like, hey, you want to be a man? Quit being a pussy. And some of the things they say, you're like, okay, yeah, right. Get up in the morning. Fucking go work out. You know, toughen up, harden the fuck up. Like, you're like, okay, this is good. But then they start saying things like, you know, depression isn't real. And you don't need therapy. Mental illness doesn't exist. Okay, we all know that mental illness exists based on some of the people we've talked to on this show, okay? Including one of our co-hosts. But then they're all also selling. The thing is, they're basically selling these for $50 a month, you can go to the real world
thing.com, and we'll teach you how to make fucking all this money and all this stuff and pick the right stocks. And you don't have to fuck eights or nine. You know, you could fuck tens or you could get hot chicks. It doesn't matter if you're short. This is the dude, and it was mind-boggling how, I mean, because these guys are huge, and it's also like things, it's not like something that's happening 50 years ago. It's happening right now. And I think a lot of those guys got pretty exposed as being kind of not as authentic, and they look fucking horrible on that show. Bill,
what's funny is they all thought they weren't going to be exposed, and they were all exposed.
Yeah. Mario, did you watch it?
They all thought that they were coming off break. Mario, did you watch the Manosphere documentary?
No, on Netflix?
Yeah. Oh,
Netflix,
you got to watch it.
No, dude. I want to see it, though.
Oh,
my God. You sold it to me.
It's so good because...
But I watched some of Andrew... But when you watch some of Andrew Tate's stuff, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, some of these guys come across better than others. I think one of the worst guys to come across was... But it's crazy because, Don, they all went from basically hustling... Okay, give us money, and we'll teach you how to get laid, and we'll teach you how to get pussy, and we'll teach you how to make money. And then now it's all about clicks. And now they're like, the Jews fucking rule the world. The Jews are the problem. Fuck the Jews. Like, it went from that to everyone hates Jews. And I don't think these people have even met Jews before. And but they know it gets clicked.
Yeah. So what you're saying that they didn't get to the... They didn't really...
I can't really hear you. What did you say? Oh, great. Bill is driving off a fucking cliff.
I said, so they didn't really get to the true stuff until later.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Your Wi-Fi is good.
It's always good when Don has the best Wi-Fi on the show. That's when you know you're fucked up, when Don's Wi-Fi is better than fucking Bill's. That's when
you... Don's Wi-Fi has been good recently.
But this guy goes to this podcast. My favorite part was this guy goes to this podcast. It's called like the Fresh and Fit podcast. And it's these two guys, and they have like 15 OnlyFans models. And then the guy just tells them how they suck, and they're not hot, and they're fat, and they're not going to do anything in their lives, and they're delusional, and they're never going to get the man. And these girls are like, they want to be on the show because they're going to get clout and followers. So all of a sudden, they cut to a guy, they go, what's your body count? That's very important that a girl doesn't have a lot of a body count. And the girl's like, I'm not going to tell my body count because it's the past. They put this guy up there who's like, I'm a neuroscientist. And just so you know, when a guy comes in you, the sperm stays in your brain and all over your body, which is why sometimes when girls have a baby, it looks nothing like the guy they had, but it looks like their ex. Right, and this guy's saying this is true, right? So that's why you shouldn't have a high body count, because you have more chance of having a deformed kid. And the guy Lewis goes, like, that is the biggest bullshit I've ever heard about.
Then you're a filthy slut,
dude. That was one of my favorite. And then their whole thing was, oh, it's science or it's fat. Like, there was one time where the guy goes. The guy's up there.
Oh, it's a study. There's a study.
Oh, but the guy goes, look, he goes, look, the guy's on top of a building looking over his like $30 million apartment. And he's like, look at this. Men created all this. A woman designed had nothing to do with any of this. And then the guy goes, how do we know that that's true? Oh, it's a fact. It's a fact. I'm like, dude, the guy just says it's a fact. Like, that's the greatest. You just start saying it's a fact, and then, then if it's a fact, then it's a fact. Like holy.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't argue that.
No, but I mean, the crazy part is that, and what sucked also is that these guys, like, look, they invite these child predators over. They trick them, and then they just beat the shit out of them, right? Which is like, and they
good.
Which is good. That you know, you want, but you don't know.
I'm on the fence about that one.
Well, it's not one-on-one. It's five guys just beat the shit out of a guy.
Like, good.
It should be more one-on-one.
I'm all for that. Should be
one guy versus one guy at least. I mean, but it's five guys beating one.
Oh, fuck that.
Hey,
those motherfuckers ruined so many fucking lives throughout, you know, their existence. fuck them.
But Don, I'm not saying they
don't deserve any fair anything.
But if it was just you fighting a guy, like versus you, Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn, not that all you, it would take. I was just saying that Don always, I feel like you always fought one on one. It was like, I hate anytime I watch a show, a video on WorldStar, and it's like six guys jumping one guy.
Five people stomping one guy. Yeah, it's the worst.
I don't know. It kind of takes the heroism out of it when it's five guys beating up one guy versus one guy. But at the same time,
foul. A pedophile is not a human being, okay? Yeah. A pedophile is a piece of shit.
I definitely can get behind that. Disagree with that. 100%. But my point was just that it just shouldn't take five guys to beat him up. But anyway, so the White House card right now is what's really driving people crazy. Have you guys seen this? So Don, they're gonna have.
Has it changed? Well, yeah, kind of.
No, it hasn't changed, right? So it's 85. They're saying they're going to get 85,000 free tickets to go to the White House, which some people are saying, how is that? That's going to be a security risk. How are you going to make sure 85,000 people are cleared at the White House with the Trump and all these people? So the bout list is Tapera versus Gaethje, which it's going to be a good fight. I think Tapera is going to win that fight. Like we talked about, Gaethje sort of, Paddy Pimblett should not have fought for the title. That's I think the problem is that Gaethje, and then it's going to be Pereira versus Gon, which everyone wants that to be John Jones, which I mean, Pereira versus John Jones would be one of the greatest fights you'd look forward to, but now it's.
Yeah. What happened with John Jones? How come he got removed?
Depending on who, so John Jones said that
he wanted real money.
Yeah. Basically,
he wanted to be paid what he's worth.
Yeah, that's essentially that. It was over money. Sean O'Malley versus Sahabi. That also, like, Faraz Sahabi's son, who I forgot, or his brother is a hobby. And then Chandler, who's like 1-4 against Ruffy, and I don't even know who Ruffy is. And Chandler hasn't looked great. Hasn't looked good. I mean, he got stomped out by Paddy Pimblett, let's be honest. Bo Nickel versus Dacus. It should have been Bo Nickel versus Colby Covington. And then Lopez versus Garcia. That's the problem is that, like, man, they're making it 1, 2, 3. They're making a 6-fight card versus a 10-fight card. They hype the living shit out of it. There's really no superstars except for Ilya Topura on this thing. Well, Gaethje's a star. He's not a superstar as like a McGregor or John Jones. A lot of people are very upset, are not happy about it. I mean, you can't really get upset about it because you're not paying any money for it. Like it's not like it's $90 to pay them. It's going to be free on your Paramount. So they're not free, but $60 for the whole year. But Don, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
I think that they got to reach into their pocket, you know, and pay some fucking fighters. I think that they're going the cheap route, and it's exposing them. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt the sport more than it helps it.
Unless, well, what if it's a 5-6 knockout card? What if it's like the greatest fights you've ever seen? I mean, does that matter? Because remember, like, there was a UFC, UFC 200, it was like the Brock versus, Mark Hunt, and it was in yellow, and like every card on paper, it looked amazing, but then every fight was just like,
I gotta go, guys, okay?
All right, man, take care, brother.
All right. Love you all. See you all soon. Right. Bye now. Bye, Adam.
Take care, brother. So, Don, does it matter? Like, what if the fights are amazing?
Okay, then what do they do if it's a 6-card knockout? I mean, then what are they going to do with all that extra time? You know, because they don't have, you know, they're not spending the money to have backup fights.
You make a very good point, Don. Just when I think you've kind of lost it, you come right back with a very, very witty point. You're right. I mean, you got to have 10 fights on this card. You got to get guys that you know are going to go for the knockout. You get you know, Michael Johnson's, guys like that, or Bobby Green, or guys that you know. But also, so the Ronda Rousey Gina Carano card, the TKO boxing, which is on May, which it seems to be, it's not even the same date, but they seem to be going head to head. So now they have Ngannou on the card against, I forgot who he's fighting, but nobody, I think Felipe Lins, who's a guy, I think he might have won the PFL one year, but he's not, he was kind of a washout in the UFC. And then, but then they have Mike Perry versus Nate Diaz, which, who's not going to want to watch that? I mean, that's a fight that they should have had on the White House card. I mean, Mike Perry.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't even know who wins that fight. I mean, because Mike Perry hasn't trained MMA in the longest time. He does bare knuckle boxing. Nate Diaz is not in his prime, but neither of them have ever been in a boring fight ever. They're going to, just the trash talk.
Right. Along, right.
Just the hype of it. I mean, that's the fight I'm looking way more forward to than the Gina versus Ronda or Ngannou Felipe Lins. So that was smart. I mean, that was a smart move on their part. I'm looking forward to that, actually. I'm really looking forward to that. What else did I have to talk about? So
absolutely.
Now, so there was a fight, influencer boxing. I forgot what it's called. It's called something boxing. And I think Andrew Tate owned some of it. But this girl who was the daughter of she was the daughter of were you a big fan of Naughty by Nature?
The daughter of what? You broke up.
This guy who was in Naughty by Nature. Naughty by Nature was a rap
group. Was it Nutty by Nature?
Not Nutty. Naughty by Nature. They were a rap group in like the 90s. They sang OPP, Other People's Pussy. You down with OPP? Yeah. Okay. Well, also Salt and Pepper. I'm sure you were a big fan of Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper.
Yeah, Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
So they have a daughter who's a rapper.
Have all their albums.
So the daughter who's a rapper fought this girl who was a two-time, I think, gold medalist Olympics in Misfits Boxing is called. And this girl just got fucking annihilated. And I don't know what it was, Don, but this fight in particular, maybe because I like Naughty by Nature and Salt and Pepper, but they put this girl in and look what happens. But the girl gets hit with one, two, three left hooks in a row. Falls straight down, hands not up. Someone's going to get fucking killed.
Yeah.
I mean, and then people go, well, that happens in boxing all the time. Or how do you put a girl who's never had a fight before, who's an influencer, who's a rapper's kid, who's a rapper, and then the girl won in Taekwondo. Well, Taekwondo's not boxing. Bullshit. It's combat sports. And it's, you can't make those matchups.
No, you can't. You know, it's fucking, it's ridiculous. And it's unprofessional is what it is. Completely unprofessional to make something like that and to try and shove it down the people's throats and force feed it, you know, force feed it to the fans.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And then then someone's gonna get killed. Everyone's gonna get fucked on this. And I didn't like it at all. And I said, and then people are like, "Well, she signed the contract." And I'm like, "Okay, all right, fine. She signed the contract. The other girl did sign the contract. True, but if the promotion has to be responsible, like if I have a skydiving, you know, company,
right?
And somebody goes, "Oh, I don't need a parachute." I can't just let the person jump without a parachute. It's my company.
Right.
You know, I can't, even if they signed a contract saying so at a certain point you have to be responsible. You can't just let people fucking do that. And I don't know. The thing, it bothered me, and people are like, "Well, fuck you. You don't know what it is." And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, "Ah, man. Yeah. I'm not into it. I just can't get into it." So
most of those people never had a fight, never been in a combat sports situation like wrestling, you know, or judo or taekwondo. They never did anything like that, but they sure fucking ballsy to sit there and tell you how everything should be done, you know?
100%, 100%. So do you watch indie wrestling, Don?
If you've never been punched in the fucking face before, then you have no idea what you're talking about.
Agreed. Totally agreed. Now, a guy who's been punched in the face a lot, Mayhem, is here. But Mayhem finds it funny to get punched in the face. He's laughed. He had the greatest fighter in the world on top of him, punching him in the face over and over and over, and he laughed at him. He kept laughing. That is not the normal reaction to getting punched in the face.
Those punches were cute. Those punches were cute. You know what I mean? I didn't feel any knockout potential in any of those punches, so I thought they were hilarious.
Who's the?
Here's my fighter, Lobo Alangarica.
What's going on?
He's made his weight today. He's going to fight tomorrow in the Up Next Fighting Championship.
Where's
yeah, there he is. I'm dropping him off at his house.
Where is the Up Next?
I'm dropping him off in the hood.
Where's the Up Next Championship?
Commerce Casino.
Commerce Casino, man. Commerce Casino.
Now, is Mayhem a good coach?
So, yeah, by the time this comes out, it'll be there.
What'd
he say? He said, Mayhem a good coach.
Oh, Mayhem's the best coach in California right now.
Hell yeah. I'll take that.
Now, why is it? What
all right, makes get out good? And hydrate, and I'll see you later on. We'll eat.
Take care, brother.
Bro, this guy's a fucking beast, bro. Like, he could beat most of the fighters up. You don't think he knows how to teach that to somebody?
what specifically makes yeah.
him? One time he's like, hey, I just told you this guy's a legit ass fighter. So he shows me techniques that fuck people up.
Yeah.
One time he kicked me. He's like, hey, block this kick. And he kicked me. And my ear fucking started like ringing and shit. I was like, oh, damn. Like, you can't hit that hard.
Put a little bit too much mustard on that one. Yeah.
Bro, the kick that just.
He said, hey, man, you popped my ear right now. I was like, oh, my bad.
Wait, how much do you weigh?
All right, man. Hey, grab your stuff out of the trunk. All right.
How much do you weigh?
This guy's flying at bantamweight.
So 125?
Bantamweight. See, I'll see you later, bud.
So, man, 125?
35. He walk around at 56.
Okay, so you kicked a guy 100 pounds lighter than you in the ear?
Yeah,
you bragging about
likely.
It?
no, I'm not bragging about it. He's bragging for me. I barely kicked him. All right, Langarica. Sorry, guys. You know, I know that I'd agree.
I didn't even agree.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you what happened. Okay, on the walk to the weigh-in, this kid Langarica just starts brawling like with some guy. I thought it was his opponent. No, he tells me that guy's been talking shit on Instagram. I'm like, dude, what the hell? This guy is just getting in stride. Then the weigh-in, we did the weigh-in. The freaking opponent tried to push Lobo Langarica, didn't even move him a bit. And then Jesse pushed him back so hard, bro. I'm like, confidence through the roof. If this guy tries to push you and you don't budge an inch.
So you guys are walking to weigh-in, to the scale. And he just starts brawling with somebody?
Yeah, let me explain. Jesse is my troubled youth student that no one else can deal with because he's an absolute maniac. He just wants to everyone all the time, argue with them. And look, I'm exactly like that.
What do you have in common with him then?
Exactly. Yeah, me and him, we get along like
now. The guy that was talking shit on Instagram,
he's soaring with.
Was that a fighter or just a random guy?
Yeah. Yes. Another guy in his weight class.
It's crazy because I can't hear Mayhem at all, but I know what he's saying. So then he did this, and then the guy hit him.
Blue fighter. He wants to fight everyone. He doesn't mind. He's not scared. He's not worried. He just wants to fight all the time. And, you know, the problem with that is that you lose training partners because you knock them out. And, you know, he went through that phase. And now I've got him in that, nope, nope, play gentle. Even though you have that monster right hand, I want you to just send it at the right time.
Got it. Well, good for you, man. I hope he wins. But also, are you a little nervous sometimes, like outside the octagon, that this guy could get himself in some trouble if he's fighting with people on the way to the weigh-ins?
Look, if he was, you know, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine. He's one of those guys that is like, yeah, he's an intense man. But the problem is that the coaches that he's had before, instead of trying to harness this like anger and aggression into something positive, they like lose their patience with him, or he makes them scared. But I ain't scared of nothing, so I'm like, okay. Well,
sounds familiar. I can't believe there's not someone else just like that who went through scare coaches.
I'm well aware. Listen, my girl said it too. She's like, wow. It's like the big thing is for her was, this guy just says whatever's in his head, bro. Like, I was rolling at the family jiu-jitsu gym, right? And Jesse was taking a break. It was open mat, rolling around, and I just hear him go, oh, what? What? Suck my dick, motherfucker. And I'm like, bro, we're at the family gym, bro. Like the nice guy gym. There's nobody. And he's like, nah. I fought that guy before. I beat him. And you know what? And I'll beat him again. And I'm like, bro, listen, you don't have to say every thought that's in your head. It's like I'm coaching myself. It's like I'm stuck talking to myself. I have passed over. I have died, and I'm now in purgatory, and I have to constantly...
I would love to hear the thoughts that you don't say. I think I've heard every thought, not even not in your head. Like, you take other people's thoughts and fucking say them.
I know.
You basically started tweeting as, Takaneri Gomi for a while. Was it Gomi or...
No, it was Rio Chonin. Rio Chonin. Yeah. Who was a really great friend of mine to this day, he was like so confused why I was doing that.
And, yeah, so if you're listening, Mayhem took over someone's Twitter. He said his account got hacked by Rio Chonin and was doing the most ridiculous, broken down Asian to English things about everyone. And it had nothing to do with Rio Chonin. And no one even knew why this was happening, except for like four people that thought it was funny that were like, what the fuck? But that's Mayhem, man. He plays to the back of the room behind the club. Not even the back of the room in the comedy club, in the other room. Before we had our first transgender fighting for the title against another transgender in the
This is a transgender. This is a transgender championship.
Yes, it's in New Jersey. We had Gita the Manita, who's a big fan of yours, and she's fighting a girl who's non-binary. Which Bill Dawes told us that we didn't know that was actually like a thing. There's like a feud basically between the non-binaries and the trans people. So, because
what is non-binary? Are those like genderless chubby girls, boys? Well, I don't know what they are. You know what I mean? It's like an amorphous blob of a person. You know what I mean? Yeah, is that Pat what that
from,
is?
Pat from Saturday Night Live.
I don't think that's
how you're like not quite sure.
I don't know. I think it's people that don't know what they are, or they know that sometimes they're men, sometimes they're women, or they just...
Oh no, I get it. I get it. I have a cousin who's they, and you know, and she's like doesn't fit into a category. I don't know what you say, you know, but they don't fit into a category. It's a new thing where, you know what I mean? It's genderless. Sort of.
So it was a great. She actually, Gita looked up to me. Wait, what did you miss? So we talked about Gita looked up to Don Fry. Don Fry said he was going to masturbate to her, but then he saw her bulge.
I'll masturbate twice for both of us.
that was a highlight of the show. Then we talked about the Manosphere podcast. You watched that yet?
Oh, you're talking about the Manosphere, the Netflix doc. Yeah. I saw the beginning of it. It was that guy was such a douchebag, you know. It's like so hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm glad they're finally doing that, because it's like real men are like Don Fry. Like these guys are all faking it. It's like a very strange thing where, oh, you lift weights, so you're awesome. Like, What the fuck? Dolph Ziggler would knock your ass out, bro. What the hell? Yeah, and knock out your perfect veneers. You know, it's like so stupid. The whole thing is so stupid.
That documentary is crazy. You got to watch all of it. I've watched it twice already, and I can't wait to discuss it.
Wow. Well, see, I'll watch it and we'll have a good long talk about it. I'll watch the rest of it. But to me, you know, I've already been at war with these alpha baloney sounds. Oh, I'm done, Drew Tight. Oh, I'm full of shit. But you're going to listen to me because I have a snooty accent. Like, no, dude. No, dude. Oh, I'm a kickboxing champion for of the world of Leeds, a small town in England. Shut up.
No, I came across a video that I had to share with you guys. So Don did some indie wrestling. You did real wrestling. It wasn't indie. You did professional wrestling. Indie wrestling sometimes has some of the funniest characters. So there's this guy. His name is Cocaine, right? And it's C-O Kane. And he does a Coke slam. So I'll show you guys.
It's just unstoppable.
So he did the Don. I don't know if you saw it. He did the Coke slam. He took a bag, started dumping it on his head. Do you think this will catch on, Jason?
I mean, it caught on in the nightclubs I went to. I don't know, man. That's bringing back some post-traumatic stress disorder. For me, but I'm starting to get itchy nostrils right now. It was a blast back then.
Don, you never did cocaine, right?
Not legally.
I told you my cocaine story. I've done it like twice. One was off a girl's like tits before I banged her. And then the other one, this guy that was like a pseudo semi-celebrity in New York. We go out. He wanted to hang out. I was younger. I was like in my 20s. I was 21. He was like in his 30s. We go out to a bar. We do a line. And then he's like, buddy, I really want to suck your dick. And I was like, thank you. But, you know, I'm into girls. But I wanted to, like, be nice to him because, I want to be liked. But at the same time, like, I was like, thank you. But I'm into girls. Dude, there's some girl shows up, makes a phone call. And then he's like, all right, how about she blows you while I do you from behind? And I was like,
No, why are you always hanging out with Andy Dick? I don't even get it.
I'm like, we're getting closer. But, and then my friend came and we just left. But, yeah, that was that. The girl was hot. I mean,
yeah, you know what happened to me? The last time I hit cocaine was at Comic-Con. And then suddenly the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles busted out and was like, Mayhem Miller. It totally wigged me out, bro. I never did cocaine ever again.
Are you serious?
I was like, bro, yes. They were stoked. They're like, whoa, dude. Mayhem Miller. And I was like, bro, I shouldn't have done that. Is this really happening?
Why out of all places, Comic-Con?
You know, yeah. Listen, I still had some from the night before. You know what I mean? So I figured, well, let's just keep the party rolling. This will be fun. It was not fun. It was not fun at all. In fact, I hate how it smells.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So I don't know if you guys saw this happen last week. This guy, you know, Mayhem, you had great celebrations. You would break dance. Don Fry, you would just kind of put your arm in the air whenever you won. Well, now guys are just taking it too much. This guy, this is on the way in, right? Before the fight. So he gets in, does a car wheel, goes back. Falls out of the cage.
You know, that is a common thing, actually. Like, at those small shows, they don't lock the cage and guys start stumbling out. I know. Yeah, this guy almost had his damn back broken by himself, right? Whatevs.
I mean, come on. I mean, shouldn't you, like, you know, I used to tell kids when they won, act like you've been there before. You know,
he hadn't even won yet. This guy was warming up for the fight. He almost damn decapitated himself, give himself a spinal injury.
And now here, there's another one I wanted to show you guys. So this was like, I've never seen this before. So hold on, let me go share. I honestly think we should call this show MMA Boomers because I don't know how to. All right, so here we go. Share, boom. All right, you guys see it? So the guy's from the bottom, and here he is on the bottom, right? So there we go, boom. The guy's on the bottom. He's getting grounded. He's in the guard. So he knocks.
What? How did he do that?
He had two fists. And he hit them both at the same time in the ears at the exact same time. I'll show you.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
Right there. And then the guy he knocked.
Oh, what? And then it just threw the guy's ear up with a double. Oh, my God. A new technique is born. I can't wait to see how this revolutionizes the game for all those. Weak chinning men who get punched in the ear and get knocked out. That's a new next level, bud.
But it was the same time. Is there
a pressure point? Been to the...
Is there a pressure point where you can hit a guy at the same time?
Well,
and then the guy like.
Well, you know, I think you could give a man a concussion by hitting into his butt. It's like a blast wave or something. Like it broke both the ambles in both of his ears?
Yeah. I mean, are you going to teach that?
Oh. Listen, that's all we're doing next week.
Well, you bust your eardrums. Yeah, then, you know, once you bust your eardrums, it puts you on Clear Street, you know?
I'll tell you what. Before a fight that I lost horrifically, this one guy hit me, this pro boxer hit me behind the ear, man.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that changed my whole life like that for months. Because anytime I like laid backwards, I would get the spins. And I had to fight like that. The guy hit me so good in the back of the ear with a hook that right behind the ear that it suddenly made me spin. Maybe that is the phenomenon that guy was dealing with because he didn't seem to have his balance after those punches.
He was knocked out. So Mayhem, I got to text somebody. I know in Vegas, I worked an MMA show in 2002 at the Stardust Hotel. I recently found this Jason Miller pictures, passing him along. The dude he fought, Phil Ensminger, died a good while back too. Not much news on it, but said he was found dead in his car in Temecula. Crazy. But at the end of the fight, Mayhem picked up the ring announcer and started twirling her around. And then they have pictures of you holding her, who was Playboy's Tiffany Graneth, was the ring announcer. Do you remember this? And did you?
Oh, I remember a lot more than that.
Well, do you want to talk about that? I don't want to get you in trouble with your girlfriend.
Nope. Definitely not.
Okay, next. All right, so news stories. Are you a big fan of The Bachelorette, Don?
The what?
The Bachelorette.
No, I've never seen it. Never seen it.
I'm sorry to be a very so it got canceled because the girl was from the stars of the Mormon Wives, and she was the new Bachelorette, and it just came out that she had a domestic violence, got arrested for throwing a stool at her ex-boyfriend.
You want to show that? You want to show the video? You want to show the video? Because let me tell you, bro. Let me tell you. That video was going around. I saw it. I made a comment on Instagram. This thing triggered me, dude. I've dated girls who were exactly like that. And I was never smart enough to get the hell out of me with metal objects. But yeah, that girl is exactly like those girls. Exactly. And the crazy part is I got busted for all that stuff because if there's no video of that, that dude is going to jail for, you injured her, when reality is she injured herself hitting you with a metal chair.
Yeah. I don't have the video of it, but so she threw the stool and hit her kid. Her kid was also in the room. She had a little child.
You know, what's funny is I've been hit. Yeah, I know that model and make of metal stool. Yes, the exact same one. They are a well-known weapon of women domestic abusers.
So they canceled the whole show. There's no more Bachelorette now. Did
they already record it?
They filmed all of it. The whole thing is filmed. And I guess what happened was they got into a fight a couple weeks ago, and he was just like, and she hit him again or something, and he just released all of it. So, because I guess they have a kid together. So yeah, there's no Bachelorette this year. Did you guys see yesterday Donald Trump met with the Prime Minister of Japan? What happened?
Yeah. Yo, Trump just be, you know, you talk about me and my fighter, Jesse, not having a filter on her mouth. Trump is the best, bro. He just say whatever comes in his head, he just say it. He's just like, yeah, Japan knows a thing or two about a sneak attack.
He said, yeah, Pearl Harbor. And then it was awkward. Like, there was like two people laughing, which made it even funnier. And then it was like dead silence. But I'll tell you what, he invited her over that for dinner last night, and she started saying Baron. It was Baron's birthday, and she's like, "Oh, what a good looking kid! He gets his good looks after his dad." Like they're friends, and then the Japan gave us like $70 billion to invest in some stuff. So you know, people are like, "Oh, that's so offensive!" Like she didn't get offended, you know, and that's who he was meeting.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, it's a little too soon to joke about Pearl Harbor.
Also, I don't know if you guys saw this. So Val Kilmer, before he died, signed up to be in an independent movie. And now they're making a movie with him, an AI. They're putting the whole movie, even though he never filmed one scene of it. But he did sign up saying, I'll be in the movie before he died. Wow. Which...
That's one way to guarantee your legacy lives on. Get your anthropomorphic dead body out there. And like now he can actually talk.
But is this a bad precedent? Because all of a sudden you're going to have all these actors who died. And, you know, you're going to have in movies.
I know. Stealing all the roles from us actors who are still alive.
I mean, kind of. Like all of a sudden you got the Rat Pack with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Rat Pack part, but you're starting to put Marilyn Monroe in movies. I mean, because it really would be who owns the estate, right? Whoever owns the estate would own the rights. And if I'm Marilyn,
Gallagher's about. I think Gallagher is about to start working doubles. We're gonna just you know what? Honestly, I'm gonna reanimate the corpse of Chuck Norris. Too soon.
That was today.
Too soon.
So Mickey Rourke got thrown out.
No, I'm fucking bummed, bro.
Mickey Rourke got kicked out of his house. He owes $59,000 unpaid rent. They started a GoFundMe for him, but it was they thought it was him. It wasn't him. Someone like raised all this money pretending to be him. He said he doesn't even know what GoFundMe is, and that he would never ask for that. Don, you ever work with Mickey Rourke?
Yeah, a little bit. On the movie The Wrestler. And Mickey's a hell of a guy. We've drink a few beers together, and worked with him on the movie 13. Yeah, he's a good guy. I really like Mickey a lot.
What were you in The Wrestler?
Well, what, he can't just downsize? Yeah, where were you in The Wrestler?
No,
I wasn't in the movie. I just worked out with him.
Got it. Mayhem. He owes $60,000 in back rent. It's not $60,000 a month. So that's like over like a year or two or something. So that's, I know people that have trained with him. They say he's definitely like a kind of, he said he's a really good dude, but he's out there. I mean, he's an odd guy. But it's, that guy's had a crazy life. Think about like,
Miller.
He's been in the public eye for a good long stretch, you know. It's making all of us weirder and weirder, you gotta admit. And he's been in there since, you know, I don't know, the 80s, right?
So
he's gotta have developed some strange habits and strange, you know, I don't know how 60 grand goes by without you paying 60. The rent, you know. I guess that's what happens when you're that's what I said, 60. Yeah, it's wild, man. It's a lot of money.
I read an interview one time where he was
I've been up
I remember he was boxing, and in his corner guy was like, you better get into this fight. Do you want to go back to acting? Like when he had a, he was like, they were trying to inspire him by saying, do you want to go back to acting?
That's wild. So he's like, actually, yes.
Two Texas women allegedly, they got arrested for putting drugs into a drone disguised as a crow into a jail. So they were sneaking drugs from a drone, looks like a bird, and then putting it in and dropping it. Jason, do you ever have that?
Yeah.
Did anybody, does that
happen? I've seen all type of I've seen methodology, bro. I've seen guys slingshot. I've seen things land on the yard and then everybody run and fight each other to the death. Like a crazy, that the delivery was there and everybody sprinted to, and then the cops, you know, couldn't not notice that. So yeah, the whole yard went down. It was a big ordeal. Yeah, this is whenever there's a market, you know, whenever there's a demand for a product, a black market opens up, and sometimes the crows deliver.
A transgender porn star named La Rose Sante allegedly stabbed a man in Florida for refusing to have sex with her because she's not Jewish. So he found out she wasn't.
Not La Rose Sante. Wait, you're telling me she's not Jewish? Then what am I going to do? She was definitely circumcised. So that was one point in that direction. Now what? I'll never see her again? She's going down for 10 years?
I mean, I guess that was the thing. It's like, that was the deal breaker. And then also a San Francisco math teacher. Uh-huh. This is a crazy story. So a San Francisco math teacher got fired at an elite school because he was teaching math. He was body shaming math. So I guess he had a bunch of kids in his class and he was saying the amount of money. Well, first he was saying, so basically the guy's name is a teacher at a school has on leave after allegations of sexist and fat shaming questions, including a 9th grade algebra. So he was like, the amount of money you spend on a date varies inversely on how much they weigh. A typical girl that weighs 120 pounds will cost you $55. The math problem read. Students were also, and then asked, so how much they could expect on a date with a girl who weighs 220 pounds. So then another one, he goes, Mr. Chan versus the fat kid. The math teacher wrote, the fat kid from last time wouldn't be quiet about his candy. I was eating in front of him, so I punted him in the air. Like, how high did he go if you punt him at this amount? And then so I think this is a good way of teaching math. Jason?
You know, I think they should take it to the next level and get really wonky and sexual with it. I feel like that's how people remember things, you know? There's a methodology. So if you get a lot more raunchy with it, I think the kids will really lock in.
It's
a gooner culture, bro. Total gooner culture.
I could see Don teaching a math class that way. Like, hey, this little fat girl over there weighs 87 pounds and has 16 bags of candy, and little Timmy there wants it. What's the square rate? I could have 100 with that. All right. And finally, Gavin Newsom spent $100 million in California on an unfinished bridge where he could put animal crossings. So over the 101, they're trying to build a bridge to have animals cross from one side to the other, but they can't finish the bridge. It hasn't been finished yet. Do animals even read signs? Like how are we?
Bro, listen, California, look, and I'm making plans, okay? California needs a dictator. I need to take over this place, usurp the power, right? Get everything done. Get everything fixed. Get everything going in the right direction. Clean up the homeless off the street. Put them in re-education camps. And, we can make California great again. Until then, this is what you're going to get. This is what you're going to get. Nonstop Gavin Newsom giving the money to all the rest of his friends. It's just how it is. I don't know how to stop it. Let's go.
And then a woman who wrote a children's book about coping with grief after the loss of her husband has been found guilty of his murder. So I guess the book was called "I Feel Bad About Killing My Husband." No, no, that wasn't the name. But yeah. So the woman wrote. I mean, that's a bad.
I think that the book was called "If I Did It," right?
Oh, and then in order to combat basically guys' testicles being shrunk, they now have a thing where you can make men are now injecting filler into their scrotums to make them feel fuller and heavier. Jason, have you been looking into this?
I'm gonna get Botox on my balls. Hey, those balls are smooth as eggs.
So that's what Chappelle said. So after being on testosterone TRT for several years,
that's Chappelle, yeah.
Guy needed a common but less aesthetically pleasing side effect. Smaller, he noticed the guy got smaller testicles. So now they're basically, it cost $20,000 to now get new balls. To get bigger balls. I mean, just let it. I don't know why people are doing this. It's just, no, 70. It's the first 10 syringes are $7,500. Each syringe is an extra $600 per syringe. It's good. It was also for guys who have micro penises and who have, small dicks. So Don never had to worry about that.
Wait, so you pump up your dick with gel? What the hell, bro?
Yes, it's called.
Man, now I've seen too much.
It's called girth fill and scrow fill. That's.
All right, bro. I do not want needles anywhere near that. You know what I'm saying? That's sketchy, sketchy.
All right, what do we have coming up, Jason?
Oh, man, I got these fights, man. That's all I'm looking at. Tomorrow the kids are fighting. I'm going to be happy about it. And, I'll be more relaxed next week. I apologize for coming late and having crappy jokes, bro. Six in the morning. I was, helping these kids make weight. I don't know where I am right now. I'm in Koreatown. I'm lost. I miss you guys. I'm so glad. We got to do MMA roast this week, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
No problem. And then, Don, what do you got?
I don't think I have anything this week. I think I got this weekend off. Next week, I got something. Can't remember what it is.
All right.
Next week, I'm in New Jersey. I'll be at Uncle Vinny's in New Jersey, which is in Point Pleasant. And then tomorrow night, I'll be in Tempe, if you want to come. Dan Severn's coming. At the Westin in Tempe, I'll be hosting the pool party during the day with Shannon Rich. He keeps putting me on flyers where I'm doing certain things that I never even agreed to. But I guess I'm hosting a pool party. And then Dan Severn is coming, as well as a bunch of Major League Baseball players, because it's like spring training, as well as Shannon the Cannon. And then hopefully
wild, bro, have a blast, bro. I wish I was there. That's gonna be a fun one.
And hopefully Don Fry will be there. Shannon, he keeps putting me on at the Westin Tempe. I'll be there. And then the who else is gonna be there? I'll tell you. So Dan Severn, hopefully Don. It'd be great seeing both of them together. And it says the legend meet and greet. Major League Baseball guys. I don't know what's going on. So I'll be there. Don, you're the best. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow.
I hope so.